to be the youth pastor of many of these kids, to have had the opportunity to spend, to be involved in their lives, and to see the change take place, to see them get what the gospel is about, to see the Holy Spirit come in and transform their lives, and them not only not that talk that we always have of being a not being a mission field, but being a missionary, and seeing that take place. And I believe that's what that song that we just sang was about. That did y'all have you ever just read, just thought about, contemplated on those words? I have a few of them just that I've kind of wrote down, just so that maybe just by saying them, maybe we'll understand just the depth of what it means or what it says. And it's challenging, to say the least, to sing those words and to say, is that my life? Is that what my life looks like? Does it resemble what I'm singing to my God? For instance, it says, you call me out upon the waters. That's how it starts. Would you consider your walk, your life, on the waters? Are you stepping out? Are you in a place? And it's not talking about the shallow end. It's not talking about water where you can stand up in on your own. We're talking about the deep. Is that where your walk is? And as I'm reading, as I'm singing, and I keep thinking, I think I keep myself in pretty good control. A lot of the things that I do, it's in my capacity. It's what Shane can do. It says, the great unknown where your feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. How many of you ever have encountered God as being mysterious? Have you? I believe that it's whenever you get out to that mysterious part of life is when you encounter God the most. Whenever you don't understand what's going on, when you don't have control, whenever you don't know what's coming next, and whenever you're stepping out on faith and complete trust in God, and He's directing your steps, and that's whenever you meet Him face to face. It says, I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. I love that thought, as I keep my eyes above the waves. And the way I see it, you know, a lot of these songs that we sang leading up to this, even the Revelation song and oceans, it had to do with waves and with oceans. To me, it reminds me of the storms of life. As a storm rolls in on the ocean, you see these great waves, and there's valleys and there's peaks, and it's up and down. And what this song is saying is that none of that affects me. None of that changes me as a person, because my eyes are above the waves. They're above what's going on here. It's focused on something far greater. It's above the waves. It's looking at our God. For I am yours, you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. If I had anything to say to you guys, is that He will never fail you. As you step out to this next step in life, it's just the beginning of what God has planned for you, for what He has in store for you. I can't say that because I don't know. I don't know how many days we have on this earth. I don't know. But I do know that He created you for a purpose, and that He will never fail you. And that's the same thing for each one of us. As we get started this morning into this short message, I'm gonna keep it short because I know. But there's one thing about it. Just so if I do go a little long, we have lunch for you, so you don't have to worry about rushing and getting anything to eat. So we're good. As soon as we leave here, we go straight to eat. Don't got to worry about lines at the fast food restaurants or anything like that. So y'all be good. We'll be good. I would like to spend a few moments in prayer as we go into this time, that as we open up God's Word and we beg Him to reveal Himself to us, to make sure that what's going on here is honoring and glorifying to Him. And it's not about, you know, as much as we love you guys, you know the best way that we can honor you is by honoring your God, right? Right? That's where you feel the most pleasure, is whenever you are obedient and you're doing God's will. And whenever He's being glorified, that should be something good inside of us, right? That's right. Y'all can take your hats off, by the way, if you wanted to. You don't, man, they look cool. They do. One thing as we go into prayer is, from those of you from this area, you may have heard of the tragic accident. That's the accident that has happened. It hasn't the day after graduation. So it's kind of hard to celebrate for two of our seniors up here tonight because their classmates are fighting for their lives right now in the hospitals. One in Fayetteville, one in Springfield. They were in an accident at 4:40 a.m. on Friday morning. Truck overturned just outside of Green Forest, and both have head trauma, multiple broken bones, internal injuries, and they are literally fighting for their lives. And so if you would, as we pray for this service, for these seniors, please keep in mind Kevin Smith, Mackenzie Arcega. And let's lift them up to the Lord as we do this, okay? You ready? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you, Lord, and we are so thankful that we are able to come here this morning, Lord, to be able to celebrate you because of the life that you've allowed us to have, Lord, for the gifts you've allowed us to be a part of. Lord, I thank you so much for these seniors and for the life that you've given them up to this point, that you've brought them this far. You've allowed them to have a graduation, that they've seen high school. Lord, I pray that you would continue to mold them and to make them into the creation that you always intended, Lord. God, I pray for your Spirit to move mightily in this service. Lord, that as we open your Word and as we take a deep look at it, Lord, that it would impact us. That we would examine our own lives. That we would allow your Word to penetrate deep. Pray for your Holy Spirit to move, Lord. God, we want to lift up these Green Forest graduates that are fighting for their lives in the hospital right now. God, we pray for strength, for healing. We pray for their families, Lord, that your Spirit would be there comforting them. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, that through this, your name would be lifted up. Lord, I pray that we would have, that there would be miracles that would take place, but not just so that you would be glorified, Lord, that they would see. I know that sometimes it's selfish, God, and I know that it's not in the miracles. It's in you alone. I just want whatever it takes for these families to know you, God. For these boys to have an opportunity to give their lives to you if they haven't already. And I pray that you would be in the midst of them. And all that are there supporting them and encouraging them, Lord, with the doctors and nurses. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time that we have to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13 is the one that we're really going to focus on, which is kind of a familiar verse. I think it's one that most everyone knows. Can anybody quote that one for me? Anybody know Philippians 4:13? Say it. I couldn't hear. That was kind of quiet. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that is a very Most, how many of you knew that one before she said it? How many of you guys knew that scripture verse? Did you guys up front here know that one? Y'all seen that one before? I think we had it on a camp shirt, didn't we? How many years ago was that? 35, 50, something like that. It's been a while. But we had one of our camps at Children's Camp. It was our scripture verse. Our memory verse was Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what? I think it's one of the scriptures that is taken the most out of context. It's used in the wrong way more than probably many of them that I know. Because do y'all remember Evander Holyfield? How many of you guys know Evander Holyfield? Yeah, he was a boxer, and he was very, no, he was no, do y'all remember whenever he was going up against Mike Tyson, and he had that on his, was it on his robe, Philippians 4:13, do y'all remember that? And everybody was cheering, all the Christians in the world were like, come on, Evander, you got to beat him up, come on, and he did. He beat Mike Tyson, and then when he went up, you know, a few months later, he went up against Lennox Lewis, and there it was in Philippians 4:13, and he didn't beat Lennox Lewis. You know, whenever he was going against Mike Tyson, everybody was like, yeah, that's the Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. I can beat anybody up if Christ is on my side. And then you go, and with that same scripture verse and that same thought in mind, he steps out against Lennox Lewis, and maybe Lennox was a little closer to God than what Evander was. I'm not sure, but for some reason, it didn't work that time. And I have a feeling, or I sense that a lot of times that's how we use that scripture verse is, you know, as we go into things that are like, that we want to accomplish, something that we want to do good. A lot of times, football games, people want to use that scripture verse to say, we can do all things through Christ. He'll give us the win if we'll just fight. If we'll look to him, he'll give us. It's kind of like a Coke machine. Like you put the money in. Who said that? Was that? Yeah, Nathan said that. It stuck with me whenever Nathan said that because it was so often we do that. We just want. We just think we can put something in. We could say a scripture verse. We could put in a little time. We could throw some money in the offering, and next thing you know, we get what we want from God. And I'm starting to think in Philippians 4:13 when Paul was writing that, he was in jail. And he was in jail, and he was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But see, if I was to say that like Paul, I would be thinking, I can do all things through Christ. I can break out of these chains, and I can kick open that door, and I can run out of this jail cell, and I can do whatever I want because Christ strengthens me. And that would be the wrong way again. Because the way that Christ strengthens me is because he is sufficient in all things. In Christ. And even at this time, he's talking about that he was getting provision from the Philippian church, and he was saying, thank you. You know, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for your provision. But I have learned. I've learned how to be content right where I am in all things. I'm content when I have much, when I've got a lot to eat and I've got a lot of things, and I'm content when I don't have much, whenever I go hungry for a few days. I can handle it because Christ is glorified. And I still think about Paul whenever he's chained up in those chains, or you know, the stories about him being chained to other soldiers, and how it wasn't him wanting out of the chains. It was some soldiers, because they got tired of him probably just proclaiming Jesus' name. And if they didn't get tired of it, they gave in. And they said, I need that. So let's start in Philippians 4:10, though, as we look at the scripture of God's word. Would you please stand with me as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word? It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abound, to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent, and once again, for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Listen to this, y'all. Listen to this. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He wasn't happy because they were bringing him stuff. How many of us, well, I mean, there's oftentimes that we'd love to get stuff. We love to have gifts. But he's saying, man, it ain't in that. It's not in you bringing me stuff. I don't need anything. I'm content. But it brings me great joy to see you bringing stuff. Because I know the blessings that you're going to receive because of who God is. And he says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You may be seated. In Proverbs 11:25, it says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So I'm saying this because as I'm sending out these graduates, these seniors, and you're going to be leaving the safe haven, each one of you are going to college off away from here. And it's not, you know, I've had a few years to make sure to try my best to see that you look through at life through scriptural eyes, through godly eyes, and not through worldly eyes, and not to chase things that the world says you should be chasing, but to make sure that it's what God is calling you to in all things. He's given us opportunities to be givers. I know that that's not a normal lesson that you would think about speaking on at a youth graduate night. I mean, the idea is to send them out in prosperity, to live life and to prosper and to have great things. And I mean, as parents, I mean, we've always kept them safe. We've always huddled around them, protected them. Don't go here. Go here. Do this. You know, let's put a bubble on them. Let's cover the sockets. You know, all that's good stuff. We want to protect our children, but it's not necessarily the way that we have protected them. It's protection in knowing that we are raising them in the love and admonition of the Lord, that we are raising them in God's word, and we're sending them out into this world, not holding them in, keeping them close. Don't go too far from home, because I can't hold on to you there. I can't. It's too far for me to be able to grab hold of you if you get too close to the edge. And what I'm seeing is that God's word is saying that you're to, if you've been raised up in the love and admonition of the Lord, you're on a mission. He has a plan for you. It wasn't to go out and to make big deals of yourself. You know that, right? It's not to make big deals of us. It's to make big deals of him. So how do you do that? That's the question. There's many different avenues that God has prepared for his people to make big deals of him. I don't know that one for you. That's something that you're going to have to really seek God after. But I've heard stories of young people that seem like they've got it. There was a story of this 14-year-old boy whose family felt like God was calling them on a mission trip, and so on mission, maybe to as missionaries to the Philippines, and so they went as a vacation kind of thing, just to see, test the waters, to see if this is really what God wanted for them. And so they went, and after they got there, they really found out, okay, yes, this is God is calling. And so they came back, and they're selling their stuff, and they're making preparation, they're trying to get support, and this 14-year-old boy is sending out letters to people just to say, not necessarily, this letter is not for your donations or for your money, but for your prayers. But of course, at the end, it said, if you want to donate, that would be fine. We'll take your money. We need that. All missionaries, we you have to have support in order to go and to do those type things. But and it struck me as this 14-year-old was taken upon him. He didn't leave it up to his parents to do this, but he was writing handwritten letters to different churches and pastors and friends and people that would help in his support. And there was this, there was a story of this 7-year-old girl, and she had a birthday party. How many of you guys have birthday parties? Anybody in here have a birthday party? Yeah? All right. At least some of you do. But this 7-year-old girl, she had a birthday party, and she received $450 in gifts, in gift money. And she said to her mom, she said, "Mom, you know, we have a lot. Can I give this money to somebody that needs it more than me? Can I use this some way to glorify God?" And her mom said, "Sure." And so with that money, they went, and there was a local pantry that bought diapers and stuff for mothers, young mothers, and she spent some of that money on that. And there was another one that housed homeless people at churches on throughout the wintertime. And so she bought sleeping bags for them. And then some of the other money was donated towards a mission project. And so she used this $450 to buy all kinds of stuff. And I know the thought is that she just didn't know, you know, she's too young. She doesn't understand what that money's meant. She doesn't know the value of money and other things that it could have been used for. And if her mother would have been good, she would have said, "No, you don't need to spend that money. You need to hang on to that. You need to invest that into something that, you know, for later on in life, whenever you have a better understanding and that money can be used more for something for you." And I'm cheering that mom saying, "You go, girl." I believe that's what God's called us to, is to be givers, to give in of ourselves, to give our lives. I loved that we started our service off with a baptism this morning. Miss Amanda, where are you at? I didn't see. Okay. And as I was watching that and just thinking about baptism and what it means, I mean, it's not the baptism that saves you. That was done at the very moment you gave your life to the Lord. You realized that you were a sinner, and you gave your life to Christ. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. But I think that it's a big deal when you walk in front of this church and you say, "I'm not ashamed of who he is." I think it is a picture, a daily picture of what should be taking place in our life. Every day we wake up, "I'm not ashamed of who Christ is in my life. I'm not ashamed of what he's going to do, what he wants to use me for. I'm not ashamed of anything that he has offered me. I'm even not ashamed if my life doesn't go the way that I thought it should. I'm not ashamed of my family because I know that he has plans for them. I'm not ashamed of the situations that I've grown up in because God is greater. He's going to bring me through. And he's going to use a lot of the things, the struggles that we've had in our life to glorify himself." So as you step in front of the church and you come up here and you ask to be baptized, and you get up there in front of that water, and you're in the water, and you have a godly man there with you saying, committing you in front of the world, the death, burial, and resurrection of in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it's not on your own merit. And it's not about you. You're not walking in your own strength anymore. You haven't from the very moment you gave your life to Christ. But man, what a great resemblance. And I'm hoping that as we that we would cherish every moment that we step away from. As we fit, don't rush. You graduated. That's a good job. College is coming. It's coming. You don't know what we have, what God has in store for us. I believe that lessons like that we're dealing with right now with our two graduates that are in the hospital, it's a very clear, a very real reminder that we are not guaranteed anything, right? I believe that's things God uses those bad things for good purpose to remind us, to give us a new understanding, a new refreshing of just why are we here? Why are you here? Is it to come and to sit in this pew on Sunday? Is that the reason why? Is it because, is it to come and to just look good every once? Was it your looks that God made you? I don't want anybody to leave this place. Not one person to leave this place not knowing just how great and how good and the reason that you're on this earth. It is to glorify God. That is your purpose. And if you are looking at your life with anything but that, if you look at your life and something else comes first, it's wrong. And I don't know any other way to say it. I know it's hard. And this might not be the reason you came this morning, is to hear somebody tell you that your life is wrong. But I wouldn't be doing you any justice. And I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. I'm loving you. Life is Christ. And it's in Him alone. And everything else is just wasting time that we don't know if we have. So I'm asking you guys, let's not waste any more time. Let's not squander any moment that we have that we don't know that we, if we have another one coming. You know, oftentimes I start my youth lessons with a catch my breath. And it's a lot of times it's just a quick reminder of that God gave me that. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and then we're going to come to a place of closing here. It says Proverbs 11, 25. No, I've already read that. Psalms 37, 25. It says, once I was young and now I am old. Anybody can say that in here? Anybody? You know what's funny to me is like it just depends on where I'm at. Like in the youth group, I am an old man. Old man. But then I can turn around and walk down the hallway and someone will call me a kid. I'm 39 years old. I mean, the crazy thing is a lot of times that's exactly how I feel. It's exactly how I feel. And I'm, so many ways I'm a kid. In so many ways I'm an old man. But one thing I do realize is that my days are numbered. It says, once I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Man, I love that scripture verse. I love it because what it's saying is that whenever a godly person, I mean, whenever they've lived out and they've given of their life, God is always taking care of them. You've never seen their children begging. Think about that for a moment. There's joy in this. I'm going to back up real quick and read 23 to you. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Think about that for a moment. God's got you. Emily? God's got you. Evan, God's got you. You can't fail. Peyton, you can't fail when God is your guide. He's got you. And He says, I won't let you go. I won't let you fail. I won't let you fall. Once I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. For the godly always give generous loans to others and their children are a blessing. How about you? Whenever we talk about Scripture, whenever we look at God's Word, is this a description of your life? And if it's not, why? I mean, that's the one thing in the youth group. I'm always throwing out these characteristics of what a godly person looks like. Not because I think this is what, it's because it's what God's Word says is you'll see coming out of the lives of those that love Him. And if you're constantly looking at God's Word and saying, does my life resemble this? And if it doesn't, that I'm correcting it, that I'm getting it right, then that I think you can see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. But if it's not something that you even desire, then maybe there's a problem there. And to me, there's no bigger deal, and to hopefully to every one of you, than someone getting it right with the Lord. Not just going through the motions, like we've always talked about, but getting it right, living it out. That's the way I want to send these guys. And I hope that's the way you're raising your children, is not to keep them around the house, but to get them out. I've seen great examples of that take place right here in this church. I know it's possible because God's the same. He can do great things. Here's what I want to do as we close this service. I'm going to ask my seniors to come up here to the altar and to kneel down. I'm going to ask their families. I know this may be a little awkward for some of you, but our children need our prayer. And so if you're a family member of these three graduates, I'm going to ask you to come and to pray over them. To however you want to do it, lay hands, however. But you guys go ahead and come. Go ahead and come. It's going to be a process here. So you guys go ahead and come. And if you're a family member of any of these three, I want you to come. And I want you to pray over your children. Pray. We're going to do this together. But this is not open. This is not just for these guys. Maybe there's somebody in here that God has dealt with because of what we've talked about today. That we realize that something's got to change in order for me to get my life in line with what God wants from me. I'm doing things on my own, and I know it, and I don't want that anymore. And so I want to ask you to come. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. And here's the last thing. Any of you guys that feel led to come and pray over these guys, you come now as well. I want you to come and to be a part of this. It's going to be just a little bit different than what you're used to. Brother Matt, I'm going to ask you to sing. And these guys are going to be praying. And then if any of you guys feel like you're supposed to come to the front for prayer, to give your life to the Lord, if you want to become a member of this church through baptism, you come and make it known. I'll stand up here, and if you need to talk while these guys pray, you come to me and we'll talk. In the meantime, these guys are going to pray, and Brother Matt's going to lead us in a song of invitation. You guys pray.
I have decided.